it's not the business of the state to be enforcing a certain moral view, or actually in effect asking doctors to stop being moral agents and merely being technicians. These doctors recited the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm. They're there to save lives and care for people, not to kill people. And this is just an absolutely contrary track that they're being compelled to pursue.
On the feature today, the president of the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada on the legal arguments surrounding conscience protection for doctors in Ontario. In the news, a big win for ARPA on abortion statistics. The Commons Health Committee is out with a disappointing report on the health effects of pornography on children. And the battles over sex education continue in Alberta.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
A big win for ARPA in a legal battle over abortion statistics and who should get to see them. A judge in that province has struck down a section of the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act, which bars the release of that information. The ruling came down late Friday afternoon. ARPA's Director of Law and Policy, Andre Schutten.
The Ontario government was wrong, and they breached the Charter of Rights and Freedoms when they passed their absolute total ban on accessing information about abortion statistics, abortion funding, etc. The judge found that it was unreasonable, it was an overreach, it was overly broad, and was not justified. And he made a number of findings of fact, which are great findings of fact, that there was no need to do it that way, and that the Ontario government will need to rewrite that law.
The government's been given a year to do that rewrite. If that doesn't happen, the provision will simply become null and void. As for the chances of the Ontario government appealing the decision...
When I read it, I can't see anything that I would want to appeal if I were the other side. And don't forget that when a judgment is appealed to a court of appeal, they're not allowed to appeal facts and finding of facts. So they're only left with the law. And I think the judge did an excellent job of summarizing what the law is and applying that to the facts in this case. So perhaps the Ontario government will appeal, but I'm really happy with this decision and happy that the judge has struck down that section of the Freedom of Information Act.
ARPA had launched the lawsuit on behalf of pro-life blogger Patricia Maloney, who argued that the ban on abortion information violated her charter right to freedom of the press. The ruling also has big implications in British Columbia, which has an almost identical ban on abortion information on its books. In Ottawa, Parliament's Health Committee has tabled its report on the health effects of graphic online pornography on children. The committee spent several months this spring hearing testimony on the issue after the House unanimously passed a motion put forward by Alberta MP Arnold Viersen, a motion that asked for the report. But Viersen says the report is a huge disappointment because it got sidetracked on the issue of gender identity.
It seemed that somebody else got a hold of the agenda. Three out of the four recommendations talk about we need to have gender-based analysis, that the Public Health Agency of Canada applied gender-based analysis when developing proposals. The fourth one was that they put forward some tools to help families and parents to protect their children from exposure to online sexually explicit material, and that technology companies, electronics manufacturers, software and browser developers create better content filters.
Viersen says the central request of his motion, a study on the public health impacts of porn, was never properly addressed.
There's a threefold target when you do a public health assessment. So you have to define the problem, analyze risk areas and protective areas, and then put forward initiatives and solutions to limit the risk areas and to promote the protective factors.
Reaction to the report?
I'm entirely flummoxed because this should have been such an easy win. Like anything about protecting children. It just makes so much sense. And where the motive to ignore that comes from, I have no idea. I don't want to follow the chain of thought to think of why would someone actually suppress all that testimony. This is something that every single Liberal MP who spoke in the debate on Motion 47 spoke strongly about protecting children. Some of them questioned whether the motion went far enough and whether there was not more that we could do than what they were proposing. And so for them to then go through the entire thing and hear all the testimony and to ignore that, I have no idea. I don't know.
That's Josh Gilman from the anti-porn group Strength to Fight. He says if there's one good thing about the report is that it provides strong grounds to continue the battle.
Quite frankly, this was one of two outcomes I was hoping for. My fear was that there'd be some halfway measures that would placate everybody and we'd all kind of shrug and go, well, you know, I guess we can be happy with that. This was so useless in terms of an action plan that it gives us something to go like, hang on, that's not a good response. And it actually serves, I think, as a rallying cry for all the people who believe that we need to do something to protect our children from all of this. It isn't partisan. Every single parent in Canada, I haven't met a parent in Canada who is not worried about their children seeing pornography and the effect it will have on them. Like, we've been in all sorts of public schools, private schools, and this is something that everybody agrees on. And so for me, I was almost relieved that at least it was clear. Like, they made it really clear they're not going to do anything about it, because now people can let them know what they really think. And that if they want to have people's support, if they want to have people trust them, that they can actually act with the best interests of the children in mind, they're going to have to change their stance on this.
We link to the full text of the Health Committee report from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. And finally, last Monday was supposed to be a big day in the Alberta legislature. Teresa Eng, who writes the Informed Albertans blog, was due to present almost 1,000 letters to the government on the issue of sexually explicit materials in that province's school curriculum. But somehow, the letters were never actually presented.
We were told that the Wild Rose education critic, Leela Heer, was going to table the stack of letters, the personally written letters that I had collected. I had a 3-inch stack from across the province. And in order to table, according to legislative protocol, you need 5 copies. So over the weekend, my husband and I made 5 copies of that. So literally, it was like a 1.5-foot stack of paper. And then when I got to the legislature, they didn't table them. Instead, they tabled just a list of names that I had for an online petition, which I'm grateful for. But the fact is that there was a commitment made to table those hundreds and hundreds of personally written letters. And I still haven't received any sort of explanation as to why that commitment wasn't followed through on.
She says whether or not that explanation is forthcoming, the battle over this issue will continue. Back with more after this.
Bill 89, which changes child services legislation, is now law in Ontario. Among other troubling changes, this bill could allow for a child to be removed from a home if it is believed they are not being properly supported by parents who hold to a religious conviction that does not endorse the LGBTQ worldview. We were concerned this would pass unanimously, but 23 MPPs bravely stood against it. Please send them a note of thanks by visiting easy.arpacanada.ca.
And we're back. There's an important court case being heard in Ontario. The hearing actually starts this morning. It involves the conscience rights of doctors, the notion that they should not be compelled to do things that run against their moral or religious beliefs. Specifically, what's being argued is a policy from the body that governs doctors in Ontario, a policy that essentially takes away the freedom of doctors to apply their moral standards to their jobs. The Evangelical Fellowship of Canada is part of the court case, and we've reached the president of that organization, Bruce Clemenger, at his office in Ottawa. Bruce, let's start by you giving us some background on the case.
The College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario, which is the professional regulatory body for physicians, has implemented 2 policies which require effective referrals from doctors for a patient to obtain medical assistance in dying, assisted suicide to euthanasia. That's being objected to by a number of doctors. I believe there's 5 involved in the case, 1 Catholic, 4 evangelical, by reason of their religious faith and their conscience, that they cannot be complicit or be in any way involved in the provision of assisted suicide or euthanasia. And so they're objecting to this policy.
And the object is to get this policy changed, correct?
Yeah. Basically, they're launching a constitutional challenge, arguing that the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario are overstepping their bounds, violating the charter rights of doctors by requiring an effective referral. Now, an effective referral, it's kind of like a prescription. Lawyers are called a material cooperation, but you're basically engaged not in the act itself, but in facilitating an act which you believe violates your conscience. Now, again, this is an intentional act that prematurely ends the life of a person. This is killing someone, and they don't want to be complicit at all. And it's interesting that all around the world, wherever assisted suicide euthanasia is legal, no other jurisdiction is requiring doctors to be involved in this way. So Ontario is the exception. And they've developed this policy, and actually, in addition to the CPSO, the Ontario government is backing them in this action. So this is quite extraordinary. It's very troubling.
So what's coming up this week is the first round of the court hearings on this?
That's right. So the 5 doctors, joined by the Christian Medical Dental Society and the Canadian Federation of Catholic Physician Societies and Canadian Physicians for Life. Those three organizations, along with five specific doctors, have launched the Charter Challenge Tuesday, Wednesday, and probably Thursday. They're going through the first round of action on this at the Ontario Superior Court of Justice.
I was talking to a friend of mine about this case, and he came to the conclusion that there's a certain amount of irony here. If you as a doctor don't want to help or facilitate in killing somebody, from a regulatory perspective, the college and the government of Ontario are saying, well, if you're not going to participate in killing somebody, we're not going to let you participate in saving lives, in being a doctor. Is it that egregious?
It is. My interpretation, and many others as well, is the Supreme Court, when it decriminalized assisted suicide euthanasia in certain situations, they didn't create a positive right. They didn't say you had a right. They said you had a freedom now to ask a doctor to help you kill yourself or to commit euthanasia against you if you're agreement. Same thing with abortion. When abortion was decriminalized and there's no law on abortion, it doesn't mean you have a right to abortion. It means that you're not prohibited in seeking an abortion. So now the governments have introduced legislation which facilitates someone obtaining assisted suicide euthanasia if they meet certain criteria, and they want to make sure that all patients, it's a legal service, they all have access. Well, that's the burden that the government has in providing it. It shouldn't be a burden placed on each and every doctor. The doctors have freedom of religion, they have freedom of conscience. In a plural society, it's important that doctors of different faiths be accommodated, and it's not the business of the state to be enforcing a certain moral view, or actually, in effect, asking doctors to stop being moral agents and merely being technicians. And that's where, again, these doctors, especially these Christian doctors, recited the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm. They're there to save lives and care for people, not to kill people. And this is just an absolute contrary track that they're being compelled to pursue.
What's the EFC's role in this? You've applied and received intervener status?
Yeah, we've joined with the Ontario Association of Catholic Bishops and the Christian Legal Fellowship. So there's three of us, and we co-intervene. The Catholic Bishops and the EFC are kind of the two broader religious bodies representing those religious traditions those doctors belong to. So we wanted to make sure that we were in court to affirm to the court that we're agreeing with the doctors that being materially involved in killing someone is a violation of our religious beliefs. We thought it was important to step behind these groups of physicians and these doctors themselves and say, we agree this is something that, if they're compelled, would violate their religious faith and their conscience. These are freedoms that are protected in the Charter, and we'll stand behind them as they challenge this.
Is this potentially a multi-round piece of litigation? I mean, these things, no matter who wins, there's often appeals. Are we kind of expecting this to wind up at the Supreme Court before it's all done?
Yes, I believe so, because I don't think the doctors or the Christian Medical Advanced Society, the Physicians for Life, and the Federation of Catholic Physicians, I don't think they're going to back down. And from the looks of it, the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario are making this a critical issue in their approach. So whoever loses will probably appeal, and we could well go to the Supreme Court. Also, there's a broader implication. I mean, every other province in Canada is looking at alternatives, some type of a call hotline or something. So if you're feeling you want to have someone who will help you kill yourself, there's a 1-800 number, something to call to get connected to a doctor who's agreed to facilitate this. But obviously the Ontario approach is kind of the easiest way. You take the burden off the province or the college and you put it on each individual doctor to comply. So that's a lot easier. And if the College of Physicians and Surgeons wins in Ontario, it could well be that other provinces will say, well, I guess it's okay, we'll do this too. So it could not just affect doctors in Ontario, but doctors across the country eventually. But also, what about other professions? What about matters of faith or conscience? Where, again, you're not a technician, you're a professional. You bring your moral judgment to bear when you're assisting someone where you have a patient or a client. This also could have implications for other professions as well, you know, teaching across the board. So it's just one province, it's a couple regulations, but again, if we lose here, it could have a spillover effect into other provinces and other professions. If we win here, then there's a strong line being drawn saying, no, doctors should not be compelled to do something which violates their conscience. And it's wrong to force people out of profession because they disagree with some of the governmental policies.
Sir, appreciate this very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.